Welcome to another exciting episode of Video Game Bang. Video Game Bang. Your weekly source for all things video game. Featuring your fearless hosts, Corey Vincent.
I'm pretty much Microsoft and Marvel. The cans are on. It's when the issue gets real.
People get shot during the day.
And Aaron Carter.
Buy the armor, I equip it, and it's like Pink Thong. The guy that delivers vending machine items in my job. He could play the Rhino.
Fill up your Mountain Dew and grab your Doritos. It's time for Video Game Bang.
The thirst is absolutely real, everybody. I am Sir Aaron Carter, and this is the Video Game Bang live on NerdReactor.com. What are you reacting to? That was a mouthful there, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
I am not done yet. This show is brought to you by Corsair Gaming. Come sail away with us. Also by Antlion Mod Mics. Keep your headphones. Get a mod mic. Now, I can finally rest my mouth for 5 seconds. Which is more than I've said in a long time. Today's show is a little strange one, because if you don't hear his voice already, because he usually would chime in somewhere, he's not here again. And we can all have a round of applause. Corey's gone, everybody. That's right. He's somewhere in Silicon Valley doing Silicon things with Silicon people. What is the con going on right now? It's called Wozniak Con 2016. What is it? Anybody know? Whatever. So on today's show, of course, we have the regulars. Larissa's here, everybody.
Hey.
You might want to get right on that one, because I can barely hear you in that mic.
I'm sorry.
Is your mic even on?
Yeah.
There you go.
There it is.
Been doing the show for 3 years, everybody, and we don't know how to turn on mics.
Technical difficulties.
Yeah, from time to time. Over the ones and twos, everybody, he's been on the show maybe, what, 3 times?
A couple times.
Yeah, I'd say a couple times. Because I'm thinking just Christmas episodes, basically, right?
Christmas and Star Wars.
But those don't count because we don't remember those.
No, you should remember those ones. Derek, everybody. Voss, right?
You got it.
Derek. Nothing else? You got nothing else to say?
That's it.
He's really shy, everybody. So we're going to have to fill in space. And rounding out the cast tonight, everybody, the real web. That's right. The real web is here, everybody. He's going to be upset when he comes back, the fake web. But the CEO and lead developer at Next Gen Pants, Bob Webb, everybody.
Hey, it's good to be here.
Did you go to GDC?
Yes, I did.
And how do you like that scene over there? He's an independent game developer, everybody, just to let you know. And the question.
It really depends on what you're trying to get out of it, but it's a really good show for independents these days. It's changed a lot.
I was going to ask, is it really inviting to those people?
Oh, extremely.
All right. And of course, everybody, I cannot forget the final member of this group here. They're here week in, week out. They love to talk just as much as I do.
And harass
sometimes. They're going to be nice today. Mm-hmm. I can't even promise that.
Yeah.
The chat room, everybody. Say hello, chat.
Hello, chat.
See? They said it this time. We're keeping this web and we're getting rid of the other web. That's what's going on right now. A lot has been going on today. Larissa, for the first time, just saw the World of Warcraft trailer, and she's
no,
a little scared about the movie,
okay,
apparently.
It wasn't the first time. I just saw another posting, and I rewatched it, and it said that it's going to be coming out June 10th. And I have a lot of hopes for this, only because I've been playing World of Warcraft pretty much since it came out, and I read the books, and I know it's stupid. Don't even get me started on this.
Oh, my gosh.
And I just feel like it's too soon.
It's
too soon.
What do you mean too soon? We're in how many expansions?
Have you seen the trailer, though?
I've seen the trailer multiple times.
I think they're trying to throw this movie out ASAP because they're actually losing people.
What do you mean ASAP? I just asked, how many expansions are we in?
Like
a lot of expansions. I can see if this was the beginning hype of World of Warcraft. Like, oh, we got to throw a movie out there, you know, before Expansion 1 came out. But we're like, the story should be wrapped up by now in video game lore. Like, it should be done. I think it's about time for a World of Warcraft. It's not like they're coming out with Ratchet the Lich King, you know, movie. It's the beginning, correct?
Yeah.
It's actually before WoW.
It's before WoW. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think it's about time, right?
I think they're doing it to get people rehyped for the new expansion. And, you know, they're going to be trying to, as far as Blizzard says, they're going to be trying to pushing out more expansions faster. And I feel like they're not going to be as good. I mean, even though Pandaria wasn't as great as it could have been, They're just going to push.
If there's going to be pandas in this movie, I'm not going to watch it.
They're going to push stuff out faster just so they can keep people around, because they've lost a lot of followers since, I think right now is the lowest it's been since 2007. And the highest it peaked at was when Wrath of the Lich King came out, and that was in like 2012.
Now, Bob, do you play games like World of Warcraft? I'm putting them in their own category. Yeah. Oh, you do?
Yeah,
do.
Oh, yeah. I was a big MMO fan, and I played World of Warcraft when it first came out. And I've been kind of on and off. It's one of those things where you play it for a bit, and then you realize what you're doing with your life, and then get off for a little while, and then you announce a new expansion. And
then you get back on the drug. Yeah.
Yeah. No. And then you hit rock bottom again, and then you go, okay, I need to stop playing.
Right.
What do you feel about this movie?
Well, they announced it like years ago, right?
Yeah,
it was
like
6 years ago.
It's been in development for...
Yeah.
Or at least floating around for a long period of time now, so...
Yeah, I was kind of surprised with the them going full, or at least, I wouldn't say full... real action with like actual actors.
Oh, like live action. Live action. Instead of just full CG.
Yeah, their CG has been amazing. They've done some really spectacular stuff with, you know, StarCraft and Diablo with their all 3D animated movies and whatnot. And that's, I guess it's just their studio's not big enough to handle that themselves. So I guess that's kind of the choice. But
yeah, they probably got a little bit more power of LA behind them whenever they take it to one of those type of studios. So are you excited? You going to go see this day one?
Oh, probably not.
Probably not? Larissa, you're day one, right?
Yeah.
Derek?
Weekend one.
Weekend one?
I'm just scared as I don't know how much of the lore it's going to encompass and, you know, the story as far as what's going on.
But you got to remember, it's number one.
I think I'm just scared of it.
It's the very first one.
Yeah.
They're going way, way back in the lore. So you got to give them a chance at least.
I mean, I'm still going to go see it. And if they do a good job, you know, even if they do a horrible job, I do hope that they continue to.
No, you don't want that, because then you get the X-Men series.
Well,
there you go. Yeah. And historically, we're going to just leave it at this.
I'll
historically,
still watch it.
Video game movies are terrible.
Yeah.
I mean,
and you're going to see a lot more of them too, because Activision has launched its own movie studio.
Good lord!
You're going to see some Call of Duty movies coming soon, and that's why Blizzard is doing Warcraft.
Yeah, but Activision. Okay.
Well, we can always keep out hope for the Assassin's Creed movie. So it's going to be odd here when we go into this, but let's see how we do. So you ready for this?
Yeah.
Let's do some banging around the web.
Banging around the web.
One person.
Guys. Oh my goodness.
One person. That's what I wanted to hear. I was so excited. So normally, all of us at the table, excluding me because I'm the one that leads it in, they usually do that. But she's the only one that's been here, of course, so she only knew what to do.
Right.
I set that up perfectly. That was beautiful, though. Beautiful, Larissa. You did great.
Thanks.
The first news around is actually not really news. It's more of a rumor. But it's a rumor that's gotten me hyped up and ready for it. Red Dead Redemption 2... to be announced at E3 and will come out on the PS4, Xbox One, and the PC. Details have been leaked already. Now, this is a rumor, so don't take this as, you know, as fact. This is all rumor right now. Some forum member on Reddit, AnonymousDN1979 is his name.
Mm.
Remember that, because that might go down.
When was he born?
Exactly, that might go down in history. He went onto the forums of Reddit, and he just said, hey, guys, I used to be a developer for Rockstar Games,
mm-hmm.
and... I don't know his whole backstory, so I'm going to make it up. They canned me, you know. They told me to get out of their office. I stole some documents, and I'm going to leak them online about Red Dead Redemption 2. And apparently he did. So it's still all rumor, because, I mean, how much news can we really trust from Reddit? Right? Exactly.
It depends.
So he goes on to write this long manifesto, because that's what they do on Reddit, about some of the plot lines. He said there's going to be two main characters. They're both Irish. One's named Irish. The other one's named Seth. Irish was brought up in Ireland, of course, moved to America when he was 15, to the game setting where he turns 21. Seth is from Kansas City and works as a teller in a bank. So it kind of seems like Rockstar is kind of taking that Grand Theft Auto 5 story mode type of thing where you switch between multiple characters into this, you know, into the Old West. It's set around the same time as the original one, just of course with these three new characters.
Mm.
Did you play the original ones?
I did.
How did you feel about it?
I really liked, I actually enjoyed it more than Grand Theft Auto, because you guys know I'm not a huge Grand Theft Auto fan. Mm. I
That's discerning.
I know. I loved Red Dead Redemption, and I loved the undead part of it, and I was hoping they would come out with more of that. I love the Western feel, everything.
Hmm. Well, you might like this part. It says the third character that you play is one you create, mm-hmm. a la multiplayer in GTA 5. You choose clothes and a horse. Although you can unlock outfits for Seth and Irish, the third person, who you name, of course, can acquire all different kinds of Western tops, bottoms, boots, gloves, and or hats. Horses will bring a completely new customization to the game. You can choose their type and breed, just like the last game. You can also buy and own safe houses and customize them, which I don't know how much customization you can do in the Old West, but, you know.
So they're going kind of the Fallout 4 route there?
Yeah, a little Fallout 4. It kind of seems like this is going to be your posse, quote unquote. Mm. I don't know what the story is, but, you know. You, the third character, will be in a free roam, but Irish and Seth can be called in as companions, but not played as well as the other people you meet in the game. So, yeah, I'm thinking you're going to build up some type of posse in the game, and you're going to be kind of the ringleader. A big new part of Red Dead Redemption is the gang system. That's what he's going to go into. You can join several different gangs. If you think you're up to it, you can be a law enforcer if you want to.
Nah.
No? No law enforcement?
I mean...
You got to bring some type of law enforcement to the West, right?
Be a crooked cop.
It says 4 to 8 players... can be in your posse for co-op.
Something
new.
So I can have some peeps in my group.
Yeah, they usually just set it at 4 players and then they're just done. I like that. I like up to 8 people.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. But remember, everybody, this is just speculation. This is rumors. Nothing, you know, concrete or whatever. All right. Did you play Red Dead, Bob?
Yeah, I played a good part of it. I never actually finished it. It's what? Like most open world games, I just get lost and then I forget what I'm doing.
Any online, though?
No. I actually was really late to the game where I didn't even have a 360 until they announced the slim versions of them. Mm. So when I picked it up, you know, there's not really many people online that I was friends with. So.
You're late to the game with the 360. That's some people's excuse. I've heard that before. Mm. It's a good segue, though, because the Xbox One drops to $299, so you shouldn't be late to the party on this one, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Xbox One, if you missed out on last fall sales, don't worry, it's coming up again. March 20th will once again drop $50 on the Xbox One price. For that, you get the 500 gigabytes of hard drive. If you want the 1 terabyte, they're still boosting that up to $349. Mm-hmm. It includes Halo 5. Is this enough to get an Xbox One now? $299? Should everybody have one in their home? No?
Mm-hmm. You know what? They're working on their backwards compatibility.
How many backwards compatibility? I've seen that a lot.
So I think they're at like 100 right now?
100 games?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what that actual hardcore number is.
Yeah,
but
I think it's around 100 and they're working on more.
Mm.
So.
But how many old school games do you actually go back and play?
It depends on the games. I mean, Xbox really isn't my console. I play a lot of RPGs, so.
And you're a PC gamer too.
I play a lot of RPGs, and the Sony just has the games that I need.
Bob, what about you?
Yeah, the backwards compatibility matters a little more for me, where I didn't play a lot on the 360, so there's a bunch of games that were exclusive to the 360 I never got a chance to play. I'm sure there's people like me that never got, or just missed out on the 360 generation, and there's a lot of these, like Red Dead, which, you know, some
you
people...
You can go back,
If they never played it on PlayStation, like I said, they did do a... Did they do a PlayStation for that? No.
Yeah, they did PlayStation Red Dead. Yeah. That was cross-platform. Yeah. That was everywhere. Yeah,
everybody.
No. But yeah, there's definitely some other... there was a lot of arcade games. That was one of the reasons that I crumbled and bought a 360 was to get some arcade games like Shadow Complex.
Yes. Ooh, yeah, that actually was a pretty good one. I wonder if those are up on the network, though. Can you download all those arcade games on the Xbox One that you could on the Xbox 360? Or is it just kind of shut off?
I know specifically with Shadow Complex, they're releasing an HD version of it on pretty much everything, PC, PS4, as well as Xbox One.
Shadow Complex was actually a very good game, yeah. $299 is not a bad price for me. I mean, I already have the PS4, and that's kind of what I've been, you know, playing. I don't need it. Right now,
yeah,
especially with Microsoft coming out talking about how they want to do cross-platform gaming, and they're opening everything up and stuff like that. And Sony's saying they're not opposed to it. I think, hopefully, we get to see a lot more games that you can play against your, you know, friends cross-platform.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. I think one of the big things is with everybody buying a system, it's kind of, what do my friends have? Then we could play together. Derek, what do you have?
I got both.
Oh, okay. Well, then there's Derek people like that who just said, I want to buy everything, you know.
Right. I got my PS4 first. I focused on the one I knew I was going to want. And Corey was the only one I knew that was going to have an Xbox, so I went with PS4.
What games were you... that's actually a smart decision. Yeah. What games were on the PS4 that made you want the PS4? Or were you just I've had Sony PlayStation products since day one, and I'm just going to stick with it?
Yeah, I still have all four of the consoles from Sony.
And me too. Mm-hmm.
My old two are up. Actually, my one is up in my closet. My two is actually actively hooked up right now, along with my three and my four. But it was just one of those, I like the interface better. And then that was right after when Microsoft announced the Xbox One, and they had to backtrack a whole bunch because of some poor decision making on their part. So that pushed me over into deciding to buy the PS4 first. And then later, I went and got the one. What I like about it, actually, with the backwards compatibility, is I have the Gears of War remastered edition. And with that copy, you get 1, 2, and 3, along with the prequel with Baird of the 360 versions for free.
Wow.
And you get to download them. Mm. So I can play through the entire trilogy again if I want, plus the last one. And... works out pretty well.
Pretty decent trilogy. Mm-hmm. I kind of ran through that in a few days mm-hmm. with a couple of friends. That was pretty fun, mm-hmm. actually. Yeah, I like that one. Let's pick the brain of the game developer real quick.
Sure.
So, you probably spend a lot of time, of course, developing your game.
Yeah.
When do you find time to actually sit down and play through anything? Or do you just shut yourself off from the world for no...
That's the one thing that's really kind of... I miss a lot, is free time. Because you would think that I played games all the time because I'm making them. I play my own game all the time. Mm-hmm. I play it multiple times a day, every day. Though other games, I really have to sort of force myself to actually sit down and spend time playing with them, because it's really invaluable to actually go and see what everybody else in the industry is doing. Because if you're just running in silent mode with your doors closed and windows curtained, then you're not going to really kind of see where the market's shifting. And there's a lot of really good ideas out there that you may just completely miss out on because you're shutting yourself out. But I do definitely get at least maybe like an hour or two in a week, sometimes maybe a little more, depends on how kind of close we are to a specific milestone, since there's times where we're crunching and I'm working weekends and nights.
Cool. Cool. What are they saying, Chad? I saw some giggling over there.
Just everybody's talking about PS4 versus Xbox.
Have I started the war in there? Is that what's going on?
Special Cases is getting his PS4 in a couple weeks.
$299?
Yep.
No, that's PS4. Excuse me. Sorry.
Yeah.
I don't even know how much those are anymore.
$349.
Yeah. Ooh, still
we were just talking about what he was going to get. And they were talking about Call of Duty 3. And, of course, Joel says, don't do that. Save your money. Because Call of Duty Black Ops 3 sucks.
That's incorrect.
I know.
That game is actually pretty good.
I'm not going to start this argument.
Before we go back, of course, to picking your brain, let's just round out this last one here. It's a really quick one. At GDC, apparently, they have a very good time up there, especially Phil Spencer. And he had a little party, apparently, where he had some lovely ladies going around dancing. but I don't think it was anything distasteful, right? Just some go-go dancers, right? Scantily clad is the word used here, so...
so, slightly appropriate is what that means.
Yeah, it's probably not rated M for mature. Maybe, I don't know.
It's E for everyone.
Yeah, E for everyone, E13 or something like that.
Yeah, right.
But he went online and he put out a formal apology or whatever. Did you get to that party, Bob?
No, that was one I missed.
Oh, man. Phil, he throws the best parties, apparently. Because, I mean, what other party do you want with scantily clad women everywhere, right? And I'm sure it had something to do with the video game being released, right?
Sure.
Yeah, there you go. See?
I'm can expense that.
Yeah, exactly. One way or another, though, he felt sorry, and he went out online. He wrote this long, long apology about that's not what the organization's about, which is just, come on. What? It was just some guys having fun, basically. But GDC, I mean, what is the main focus of GDC? Do you go there expecting after parties, or do you go there mainly just to learn or just to see what other people are doing?
So some people go there expecting the after parties. For a lot of people, it's just a networking event. Because there's really, it's a combination of career kind of development where you have people looking to get hired. A lot of students kind of go into the expo to find people that are willing to look through their portfolios or, you know, give them references. You have the kind of professional side where you get a lot of tutorials, people learning different tools or kind of sharing their experiences with game development. And then you just have networking, which the majority of people are there for just networking.
When you say this, when you say the students and stuff like that, I imagine students coming up there with their mixtape and just sliding it to people.
Oh yeah,
like
if
hey,
if you get a
check
chance,
out my game
please.
Real quick. Yeah, is that what does stuff actually go on like that? Like, do you see
sometimes?
Sometimes,
yeah, they actually gear some of the stuff towards specifically students. Like, they actually have a panel, like it's a 2 or 3 day panel where they will review portfolios.
Wow.
So they'll have students come in and they'll have industry professionals go through all their work and tell them what they're doing right and what they need to fix.
So. That's pretty interesting. Yeah. That'd be pretty cool. I don't know if there's any events or other any occupations like that where students can just kind of go up there and then, you know, people from the industry is like, hey, your stuff is probably needs to be a little tweaked here. Mm-hmm. Or, hey, we're looking for somebody kind of like you. You know, here's my card. Get in contact with us. That's pretty cool. But see, everybody, of course, the internet, they'll kind of glamorize GDC as just a showcase for what's coming out, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you'll see on the internet, like, oh, GDC this week, what new games are going to come out, basically.
People really don't announce games at GDC. It's more E3.
Exactly.
Like, GDC is more about announcing new hardware.
Yeah. I've seen that trends. As well.
Yeah.
So, a few years back, Shigeru Miyamoto, I believe, did a talk there at GDC, and the internet got all up in flames because he was kind of just talking about how to be a developer and what inspires him, stuff like that. That's all it was. It wasn't, hey, here's the next Zelda game. Right. And so people were like, why didn't he announce this? Why didn't he, like, I think they're missing the purpose.
That's not the point of it.
Yeah, the game developers conference. It's not, you know, the game showcase or something like that.
Yeah.
And so little people were upset. So I see people take kind of what, E3 is and just kind of throw it on GDC. Do you see any of that? Or
I've definitely seen people make GDC seem a lot more important than it is, other than it's just, it's like any other kind of professional conference. Like, there's professional conferences for every industry, like where you have people who are in public health. Well, they'll be at some convention where they talk to each other about diseases or something weird like that, and it's mostly just people, industry professionals, just sharing information with each other and kind of doing little seminars. A lot of it is because they need to get sponsors, is people trying to sell stuff. So the majority of the show floor is middleware and tools that they're trying to get people to use. So it's just kind of like a giant sales pitch.
All right.
So
now,
after parties is why I would go there.
Yeah, I was going to. Exactly. You're mainly for there. And that's probably what Corey and Weber are doing right now.
Web would be there networking.
Yeah, he would definitely
be babysitting.
Hey, we got to follow everybody. Thanks for following. We'll see your name in a second. I can't see it right now because I'm not behind the ones and two. That's Mr. DV over there.
Night to Trees.
Night to Trees. Thank you for the follow.
We can do the wave?
We can, but it'd be like one half of a wave.
It would go you, Aaron, you, and then me.
So.
Yeah, exactly. So how about you just wave to the people then? All right, so I'm going to pick his brain. If there's anything in chat, let me know. Any questions for you? Okay. We rarely ever have developers in studio. As you guys know, this is the week or the month of independent game developers where we're trying to highlight all the independent game developers we can before the big event at the end of this month, I believe it is, or beginning of next month?
The 9th?
9th, yeah. So beginning of next month. It's going to be the Indie Game Arcade in West Sacramento. If you guys are local, or if you're not local and you can just make it down there, I would recommend going out there just to go see some cool independent games and meet some cool people as well. One of the questions that has always bugged me about, not bugged me about game developers, but just like game developers in general, that I would like to know is like the inspiration and the drive to go and just kind of, because when you're an indie game developer, in my, you know, uneducated opinion, you're really starting from the bottom. Like, you're building something out of nothing.
Yeah.
You're just kind of taking an idea and then hoping people will like it. So where does the drive and inspiration come from in that?
Well, for me, I am self-taught for a lot of things. I pretty much, when I was starting to play video games, there was a couple years and where I didn't really kind of, I was like, they're little magic things that happen inside of an electrical box. But when I finally realized, hey, I can actually make these things and do it, you know, from home, that's when I kind of started getting interested in it. I've always been really interested in kind of taking things apart and putting them back together, see how they work. So I'm very kind of mechanically minded and geared towards like programming, which is why I actually had a degree in computer science. But it's, I always had these little ideas of, hey, what if I try to make a game like this? So I would go out and actually try to put it together.
No, when you're thinking of these games, are you thinking of things that you would have fun with, or everybody? Oh,
usually it's completely selfish at that point, where it's just like, that sounds cool to me, and then I'll try it out, and sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. You know, sometimes it's just a thing for myself.
And the last developer we had on, I told him, like, you know, when I was younger, I used to try to dabble in that type of stuff, and then sooner or later, there's a point in the game development where it's just like, I'm kind of just tired, and like I just lose that drive.
Absolutely.
But then months later it'll come back, and it's just like, how do you keep that rolling? Like, how do you not, you know, stay focused, I guess?
I had about I've been doing development kind of on the side for 20 years now.
Wow.
So I have a mountain of unfinished projects. Okay. I will just be, you know, try to make something, and I can spend about 2 or 3 weeks building tools to make the game and never get around to making the game.
You build like engines as well? Like,
This is back in, so I started back at like 1996 with, I don't know how many people are going to be familiar with MUDs, but they're an online text-based multiplayer adventure game.
Not at all.
Yeah. So they're really simple, just like you type in words and commands and then it spits it out. It's like a text-based MMO.
Oh, okay.
So it's like that was where I really got my start, was because it was all kind of scripting based. You could do it in game. So there were people on there that would encourage other people to just kind of create content for the game, and it was very really kind of warm and educational environment. And from there, I was like, I'm going to make my own. And I didn't realize that I had to learn about 50 different things before I could actually get one running.
Wow. How many games have you actually completed?
I'd say about a handful. Not many actually got released because they were mostly just kind of personal projects.
So you have like a vault of those, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of proof of concepts and tech demos. This game I'm working on now is going to be my first commercial release.
Wow. Okay. Okay. So is there like a plan to later on kind of like leak those or something? Is that happening in the industry? Do people just like leak?
Some people do. Some people will actually kind of create their own portfolio online and leak all the things that they made previously. But like I said, I've been doing it for 20 years, so a lot of technology they used, I don't even know if they'd run anymore. Some of the stuff was built on Windows 95.
Wow. And that stuff can just like upgrade to... like just run on something current?
Maybe if I can find a Visual Basic compiler, which I don't even think it's, it's one of those things where I don't know if it would be worth it trying to upgrade some of these old things, because they're kind of embarrassing. It's like we look back at pictures of you in high school.
Oh wow. So what's the desire to stay away from like big companies, going and just working for a big EA or Activision, or do you want to do that?
He doesn't want to be a corporate shill.
Wow.
No, I did that. No. I actually, at a college, I applied to work at, I think it was EA. And at the time, I didn't realize it, but I was an independent developer at that time. So I was kind of, in the sense that I did everything. because I had to do everything to build my games. So I didn't really have a focus. And at a big company like EA, especially back when I applied, mid-2000s, they were looking for very specific roles because their teams are huge. Mm-hmm. So they need very specialized people. So when they were interviewing me and they're like, well, I mean, what do you want to do? Do you want to work on the graphics engine? Do you want to build tools? I was like, I don't know. I kind of do everything. So I didn't really have a specific focus on you know, I didn't come out of college with a a degree in writing graphics engines or anything like that. So it and when I went to college, there was no real thing as gaming degrees. It was pre that. But yeah, I didn't really focus too much on 3D mathematics and it wasn't didn't have a super portfolio full of tools. So that kind of burned me out a little bit on that because I was like, oh, I'm not good enough to make video games. So I ended up just working at a tech startup in San Francisco for about 8 years.
And there's no desire to like try again to...
I just kind of... That was the... So at the time, too, it was part of the whole thing. I don't know if people remember the EA spouse thing.
No. Uh-uh.
So this was when a spouse of a employee at EA... had written kind of an open letter about the development environment at these companies and these big companies. And a lot of people kind of echoed her her sentiment is that the overtime and crunch periods were just insane.
I do kind of remember something like that.
This was just
a kind of complaint, like my husband's not home.
He's always in the office. He's never home. He's and he's working insane hours and just is getting really sick and that kind of stuff. And that does happen in those kind of corporate environments. So I know it's a lot less now, and it even really happens in indie environments that people are just kind of just trying to get their game finished, and it's mostly kind of a failure of management at that point, where even if you're managing yourself, you need to be aware of that. And for me, I kind of, at that time, I just took it as being like the industry is really toxic and I don't want to be in it right now, and I was a little disheartened. But I still ended up, making games when I had my free time, and I never really lost that passion to make games. That was kind of what kept me interested in working on it. And also, there's only so much things I can do at work that keep me engaged and entertained.
Now, don't feel afraid to cut me off because I'm gonna keep.
Oh yeah, Joel. I'm sorry, I was just totally into everything you were saying right now. So Joel wants to know if you ever played Overlord. And or Legend of the Red Dragon.
Or is those like the strategy games,
and
basically?
Operation Overkill.
I don't know what those last two was.
I've heard of Operation Overkill. I don't think I ever played it, because I probably wouldn't remember. I did play Overlord, which I'm assuming is that where you basically play like an evil guy with a bunch of little
minions and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And I haven't heard of the middle one. Yeah.
When you play the games like that, do you find yourself
critiquing?
Like hyper, over critiquing the mess out of them?
Depends. Sometimes you can shut that part of your brain off if you kind of just get into it. If I can totally turn that on and just kind of start really dissecting a game. And that's really valuable too, since I play a lot of games that are similar to my own. And I have to kind of dissect mechanics and figure out exactly what they're doing and why it works, or what they're doing and why it doesn't work, if that's the case. A lot of times, especially these days, is I'll actually look at indie trailers, the big ones, where I just can't shut off that critical voice in my head. And I'm seeing them doing things and going, no, why are you doing that? You shouldn't be showing that. Or this is a really horrible way to present this thing. So it does kill some fun, but it's, I still, it should definitely get some of that enjoyment out of games where I'm, if I can shut up my brain for a while.
Yeah, I see that same type of thing when I was in, film classes, mm-hmm. and then I go and watch a film like, oh, this is so terrible, the lighting is poor there, and stuff like that. They won 2 Academy Awards. I don't care. I don't like any of that there. So let's talk about your game.
Sure.
Refactor.
Yeah.
How does that come to be? Like, what are the inspirations? Because I'm kind of getting a little Tetris-y vibe feel.
It's a long story. It goes back 2 years ago. I sort of got a team together to make some games. Finally, I was like, all right, well, I'm getting old now. At the time, I think I was turning yeah, 30, 31, and I was like, okay, I'm going to either get a mortgage and never be able to do this, or I'm going to have to just take the risk and start trying to do the independent games things. And I had a small team together, and we were kind of working on different ideas and little prototypes, and nothing really was sticking. And we have a friend who is a big fan of Metroidvanias.
Ooh, yeah.
And this particularly Castlevania Symphony of Night and Classic Super Metroid. One, yeah. And we love to tease him. So he's not really a part of our development team, but he is. We would kind of poke at him and be like, oh, we're making this game. So we came up with, I mashed up, like, well, we're going to make a Tetroidvania. It's a mashup of Tetris and a Metroidvania, just to kind of be a joke. And we sort of, that kind of stuck in our minds for a little bit, and I was just like, wait, what the hell would a Tetroidvania be?
Yeah,
like, how do you mash that up?
Yeah, you mashed in some...
It's a weird thing. And eventually was like, all right, well, I mean, you could do the simple thing of just reskinning a Metroidvania, which is like you have your standard Metroidvania formula where you have a character that gets upgrades and it opens up different parts of the world and you kind of explore through that way. So it's like, okay, well, you play a Tetris piece and the abilities are tied to the different shapes. You get the shapes as you acquire, you kind of go through and you kind of explore the world. So you can have like an aligned piece will be a squish jump, like a super jump. You're going to squish down. The T-block will be like a grapple, like all the classic stuff. But to me, that is, it's just like a reskinning. Like, unless you're doing something particularly interesting with a lot of mechanics, then it's I like to have a little bit more to work with. And you could make a decent game with that. But one day when I was in the shower, where I do most of my good thinking.
Where everybody does.
Exactly. I have to say, the bathroom is the place.
Yeah. I was thinking about Castlevania Symphony of Night, mm-hmm. which is, you know, classic thing. And the big kind of twist in that, spoiler, but it's about, what, 15 years old now?
Yeah. I was going to say, it's been through several iterations on different consoles. So
the big twist was that you, once you beat the boss, if you beat the boss in a particular way, it reveals that you can play through the map upside down.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, that was a really cool thing, and that was such a big hook for that game, and it really kind of blew people's minds. And I was thinking more about the Tetris aspect. I was like, well, I mean, what if the game board was kind of like a Tetris board? And what if we allowed the players to grab the different rooms and rearrange them? And that kind of opened up this whole mechanic of like, well, we can have a Metroidvania where we just kind of, the exploration and discovery is based on different pathways people construct. And it's all done real time. It's all physics-based platforming.
Wow.
So people can kind of, it's really kind of driving that exploration experimentation where they can take a room and flip it around and reconnect it and try to find, you know, oh, there's new parts in this room I can get into. Or, you know, oh, I noticed when I disconnected this room, all the fire stopped in the room because the pipes with all the gas that's piping all the you know, fire for the fire is no longer connected.
Off.
So it's gone.
That's very interesting.
So now that hazard is completely gone.
Wow.
So now you can go through that room without having to actually deal with that, you know, damage and the enemies too. It's like you have, they're all physics based as well, so if they're wandering around a platform and you turn it on the side, they'll flop across the room and right themselves up and start pathing on a new surface of the room.
Wow. So it sounds like it started as a running joke, and then just kind of got even more detail whenever you just kind of started thinking more into it.
We just went full stupid with like, oh, we can do all these different things with this mechanic. And it was so much to the point where we were like, okay, we need to cut back on what we're trying to do.
But
there's
still
too much to do.
It still sounds like the essence of imagination. Like, you just let it loose, and then it kind of just all made it into the games. But I can see that. I've actually heard that from the other developers. It's like, oh, we wanted everything in the game, and we got to pull it out. How do you stop yourself? Is it just memory? Like, we don't have enough memory to put this stuff in there? Or
fortunately for me, when I went and I worked at that tech startup, there was a lot of people there who had a lot of experiences with startups and small companies, and I learned a lot from their mistakes. So I spent 8 years making mistakes and learning a lot of really valuable lessons about managing projects, scoping projects, and how much time it's going to take to complete a project, as well as, you know, budgeting and dealing with teams, all on another company's dime. So it was not wasted time. During that time, I was coming up ideas for games. I was still kind of honing my craft, and learning about all this kind of things you don't really, you kind of take for granted when you think of, oh, we're just going to make a game. It's like, no, you're actually managing a team. You're creating a product. You have to deal with, feature creep and, what are you going to have to cut from the game, because you can't have dozens of mechanics in just a single game. If it's going to be 6 hours long, you don't want to have like 30 mechanics. Like, you could fit it in there, but there's going to be a fatigue. Like, from a user perspective, it's just going to be like, this is way too much.
You got anything in the chat before I keep rambling on?
They're talking about how you two are the upgrades to Corey and Webb. So this is this is Corey 2.0 and
Webb 2.0.
Chat says that, oh, Webb lost weight and became a better eloquent speaker.
Wow.
And maintains interest. So you guys are upgrades.
Wow, way to kick the old Webb in the nads while he's gone. He's gonna come back and be like, I heard what you guys were talking about the whole episode. The other thing I asked the last developer that was on is managing by the team. Since you seemed like you have a lot of experience with that, because everybody wants to kind of, or everybody has a different imagination.
Yeah.
But if this began with kind of the core group, how do you keep everybody on the same, track? Like, do you keep it just like, I wrote out a whole portfolio of everything we're going to do. Here's a syllabus, everybody.
Kind of.
Stick to that.
We have a design document. That's kind of the core kind of tenet of the game, is you have to have a living design document which you update and you continue working through the game, but it also serves as a point of reference. Like, you can say, oh, we want to try this really crazy thing, and you look at the design document, or you kind of think back on the core idea of the game, you're like, that's not really what this game is about. So it's, it might not be, as it might sound really cool, it might just, be this kind of pie in the sky thing that you want to do, but it's just, it doesn't fit with what you're trying to achieve.
So you got to kind of steer the boat back over to, well, hey, guys, we're exactly. Making a fighting game. Nobody should have bazookas.
Right.
Let's go back over here this way.
Yeah.
If you're hearing that sound right now, that's because we're doing a short show on the Saturdays, because we have a game to play, everybody. Refactor. We're going to show you guys live here, so stick around on the Twitch. If you're not here on Twitch, you should be here every Saturday at 9 o'clock. We do the show live. This month, we're going to be highlighting indie arcade people. If you're not here, of course, head to twitch.tv/videogame_bang, and we will be showing, again, Refactor in just a moment. Head over to, patreon.com. What am I forgetting that? Oh, my gosh. patreon.com/videogamebang, and become a patron today. We have cool things. We're giving prizes away for the low-tier people. That entered you to get into a raffle. Last time we gave out Street Fighter V, which was pretty awesome. We had a winner in, Montana? Is that where she was? Shifted all the way out there. She took a picture, and she's playing the game. Actually, her boyfriend plays the game more than she does.
Bet.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah.
I messaged her, and she's like, no, he plays more than I do.
Mm-hmm.
Let her play the game, dude. And then the prizes get better the more it goes up. So head over to patreon.com, become a patron today. Help us, help you, help us, help you. That's how we like to look at it. Anything else that I'm forgetting, Larissa?
Antlion and Corsair.
Of course, they sponsor us. Don't forget the Indie Arcade the beginning of next month on the 9th in West Sacramento. We're going to be there. You're going to be there, right?
Yeah, I should be.
He's like, yeah, maybe I might make a cameo. And we're going to be doing a booth there. We're going to have probably more giveaways at the booth as well.
Is Macy going to be there?
Oh, yeah. Macy's going to be there right next to us. Macy, cosplayer from here, Sacramento. She's going to be showcasing some of her pictures and everything like that. I don't know what she's going to dress up as, though.
I don't know either.
That's going to be...
She'll probably ask her. Maybe. I don't think she'll tell us.
Yeah, no, it'll probably be a little secret type of thing. She had an awesome cosplay today as the Black Widow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Derek, is there anything you want to say? You have been quiet the whole episode.
Oh, no. Chat loves that. Him.
Yeah. Oh, chat loves you?
Chat
wow.
Loves
look
him.
At
They're like, look at this. Corey, just keep nodding. Looking good.
It's like Jay and Silent Bob. Okay. Well, whatever. I guess it works for people like that. I kind of feel like I'm forgetting something. Am I? Anything? Normally, we do the show a lot longer, but of course, we want to spend time. So, anyway, for Larissa, Derek Voss. Oh, yeah. You can follow us everywhere on iTunes.
Yeah.
Like I said, for Larissa, Derek Voss, and Bob, I'm Sir Aaron Carter saying see you next week. And we're done there. All right. So thank you for sticking around on the Twitch.